Thank everybody for coming. Today's share will take advantage of the fact that Purim is coming up this week. It's entitled Megillah and a Minyan. And first introduce the topic. One of the aspects we'll be talking about today is the idea of Pirsumei Nisa by Purim. Now, usually when you use the term Pirsumei Nisa, you think about Hanukkah. If I ask you on Purim, what's the Pirsumei Nisa, you might still tell me Hanukkah. Where exactly is the Pirsumei Nisa of Purim?
It's hidden.
Right? A nes nister. Okay, in the world today, one might think it's the costumes, it's the mishloach manos being delivered everywhere. But that's not what our chazal say. Maybe it is hidden. The Pirsumei Nisa of Purim involves the reading of the Megillah. That's where the aspect of Pirsumei Nisa lies. So what I'd like to do today is go through some of the halachas about Mikra Megillah itself, and then, more importantly, the ideas of Pirsumei Nisa in that Mikra Megillah, and various different scenarios that come up when you're balancing the idea of Mikra Megillah together with, we'll talk about the idea of Pirsumei Nisa. Now first, the mitzvah of Megillah itself. Now, if you look in the beginning of your sheets, Tuf Reish Pei Zayin, Chiyav Kriyas Megillah. Chayiv Adam Likros HaMegillah B'layla V'lachsor L'shnos B'yom. Person is responsible, is chayiv, to listen to the Megillah at night and then redo it again during the day. Once again, it should be the same story you're hearing. If you're hearing something else, talk to Steve. Vishal Laila Zmanakal. Laila, at night, you can listen the whole night. Vishal Yom Zmanakal Yom. Me'en Netzachama Atzof Hayom. Right? You have all day to hear it. If you're not in a state to hear it right when you wake up, you can wait a little bit. V'mkar Mish'alam Anashach HaYotzer. If you have to read it early, which, you know, nowadays a Amud HaShachar is not so late. It's not so early. So if you read it from Amud HaShachar Yotzev, obviously, L'chachila, one should read it from Netz. Okay, so the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. What is the nature of that mitzvah? So it sounds like this from Mishabur and the Shaar Tzion. This is some in Tufri Tzadi Mem Aleph, Shartin over there. It's mashma that the chiyav during the day is more than what you call an average durabanan. The day's chiyav is you call a chiyav divrei Kabbalah, which is sort of a level which is in between Doraisa and Durabanan. Durabanan are takanas or dinim that the rabbis set up. Divrei Kabbalah is one step beyond that. That was the Masorah through the generations that this is something that we should be doing. So during the day, it has a din of Divrei Kabbalah. At night, it's debatable. Pashtus, it might only be a din Durabanan. What's the difference if something's Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei or Durabanan? So normally by Durabanans, let's say in the case of a Suffolk, we go Suffolk Lakula. But by Mikra Megillah, being the fact, for sure during the day, it's Divrei Kabbalah. So more Machmer over there. I'll give you a simple instance. When they built the cities of Ramot in Yerushalayim, I remember, I went to yeshiva in Sanhedrin Merchevet, which is right outside Ramat Eshkol. And yeshiva had these windows that overlooked the hills of which is now remote. But years ago, there was not much there. I was there already when they built a couple of the remotes. But now you go there, well, so many, Baruch Hashem, beautiful Jewish cities. And Ramot is one of those cities, when they built it, it wasn't sure, is that really part of Yerushalayim or not? By now, many people have settled it. But originally, when it was first built, what was Masafik, is it part of Yerushalayim or not? So they ended up keeping 2 days of Purim. At least they laid the Megillah both days, because being the fact that Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah, that's something you can't treat lightly. And in some ways, you have to treat that like a deraisa and suffik l'chumra. If you have a suffik, if today is the right day to lay Megillah or not, you better do it twice. You better do it today and the next day. So that's one aspect of Megillah. The other aspect, which is very important in the midst of Kriyas Megillah, is you have to hear every single word. And if you miss a word, not really yotza. What one could do is, if a person happens to have a kosher Megillah, he could read along with, and even if he missed a word, he could quickly read that, and he'll be okay, because he's reading from a kosher Megillah. It's a Kriya, it's your reading of it that works. But if one doesn't have that, or one misses a word, that's a tricky scenario. Pashas, one would have to hear it again. We'll talk later what happens if you're in a noisy shul and the kids are going crazy with the Hamans. Good question. We'll talk about it. But ideally, a person has to be able to hear every single word in Megillah. You know, there's questions sometimes. A person's half asleep. Did I hear it? Did I not hear it? Was I awake? Not awake? Okay, yeah, you really have to try the best of one's ability to be awake and hear it. I guess you have to hear both day and night. But as really we said, let's say a person's stuck and he can only go to one. Which one should he go to? The day one, as we stated before, since the day for sure is a requirement, I mean, Divrei Kabbalah, if you had a choice to go between the two, I saw the post can bring down, you should go to the day one. Because that for sure is a Divrei Kabbalah, the higher form of the mitzvah. Once we're talking about Purim Day, it's Kedai to mention, you know, Purim Day, a few things. When you make a Shachianu again on the Megillah during the day, just like you did during the night, except the Shachianu on the day, the person making is supposed to have in mind, when you're listening to the bracha, should have in mind that it's going on all the other mitzvahs of the day. Besides Mikra Megillah, Shachianu is going on, Matan Sav Yodim, Mishloach Manos, Sudas Purim, that's what you're having. The other step, which is Stam important to note, is a fascinating, I believe it's Radvaz, talks about the following question. Let's say a person is in jail. And being the fact you're in jail, you never get a minion, most jails, right? You're stuck. But you have one day a year, they'll let you out and get a minion. So should you, if they're willing to grant that to you, this one day, should you do it right away now, because never know, they'll change their mind? Or should you save it for a day, this is the language of the Radvaz, a day like one of the days of Aseret Me'etshuva, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, one of those days, or Purim. So Radvaz brings down. So it's quite fascinating that they link together Purim with the days of awe, Yom Narayim, as a great day for tefillah. If you're stuck in jail, which day get out of jail free, at least for a day? To daven, one of the days mentioned is the day of Purim. So it's not a day which should be treated lightly. Not a day that one should just hop whatever minion you could, but for Karet, it's a day to prepare ahead of time. It's an awesome opportunity for tefillah. Purim is a great day for that. So besides, of course, the mitzvah of Megillah, which the Iker is on the day, but also the other aspects of tefillah is something that's very big on Purim. I saw this also. You know, the Mikra Megillah, I saw advertised, you know, someone's having a concert. So, but they have multiple times you can hear the Megillah before the first act, in between the first act and the second act. They have like three sets of like Megillah readings around the concert. I think they got it all backwards, right? In Hapachum. The Iker of Purim is to hear the Megillah. That should be your Iker. It's not you fit your Megillah reading around intermission by the concert. It's not the way one should observe Mikra Megillah. Now that's the mitzvah of Megillah itself. But as we mentioned, there's specifically an idea of Persume Nisa in the reading of Megillah. Now really this takes place on, I would say, on three levels. Gemara has a question. Why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? If there's ever a day to thank Hashem for our salvation, shouldn't Purim be that day? Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Very good question. Well, it's a busy day. No extra time for Hallel. That's not the answer. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? So, Gemara deals with different steps. But the Gemara's Maskana talks about that the reading of the Megillah itself, that is the Hallel. When you read this amazing story that takes place, that every little in and out that's recorded in the Megillah sets up a stage later and eventually is part of this amazing master plan which saves the Jews. That itself is a tremendous praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Hallel. Reading the Megillah is Hallel. It's thanking Hashem. And therefore it's not just, you know, probably the way simply people look at Mikra Megillah, it's, look, yesterday we were laying Parsha Zachar. In fact, that's the most important Kriya of the year. It's a Deraisa. So we're laying Parsha Zachar. And okay, so Megillah is another laning, you know. Kohelis is a laning. We lay many things over the year. It's not exactly the way to look at it, especially from the perspective of the Gemara. Megillah is Hallel. We're thanking Hashem for saving us. And you accomplish that through the reading of the Megillah. So that's already a different aspect than other kriyas, other of our Torah readings and the like. Now, I'd like to show two halachas. First halacha is in the middle of the page, Simin Tafri Tzadi. Mechaber writes, Megillah b'yadal v'tesvav, the Megillah that you read either on what we call Purim or Shushan Purim. Tzarech lachzor achar asara. The Lashon Mechaber writes, Tzarech, there is a responsibility, lachzor achar asara, to look for a minyan. You shouldn't just hear the reading of the Megillah. That reading of the Megillah should be done in the context of a minyan. Then the Avshir ba'asara, it's impossible to get a minyan, then Koros Obiyachin. Then one could read it by himself, by oneself. So you see over here, there's a concept of laying the Megillah specifically with 10 people. Right? Like for example, right? A person has to hear Tkia Shofar. So okay, it's best to go to Shul to hear Tkia Shofar. What happens if you can't hear Tkia Shofar in Shul? Of course, if someone comes to your house and blow shofar for you. So too by Megillah, one would think, okay, look, I can hear in shul. If not, you know, let someone come to my house and lane it. Really the best thing is to always have Megillah with a minion of 10 people. Why invite one person to your house? Invite 9 others, 7, 8 others. And this way, you'll have a minion. That's what the Mechaber is writing. Ideally, Megillah should be read with the minyan. Again, the Mechaber also writes there are extenuating circumstances. Obviously, a person is homebound and you cannot get a minyan. Okay? You're stuck. And of course, you could do the mitzvah by itself, by the laning. But there is an ideal of doing mitzvah Megillah, Kriyas Megillah, with the minyan. Yes?
Does it matter if all 10 people
Ah, so that's one of the questions we're going to deal with. The Pashut answer is no, it does not matter. You could have Pashut, even 10 people sitting around, people that already heard it, that's fine. Now, the reason behind this halacha, why should you look for a minyan of 10 people when you lay in Megillah? So, halacha brings down, because that's persumei nisa. When you have 10 people there, they're spreading the nes. That's persumei nisa. You're doing it in a public fashion. There are 10 people. And therefore, you're doing the mitzvah seemingly in a better way. You're doing the mitzvah with persumei nisa. So that's why we look for a minyan. A minyan's a way to do persumei nisa. So pashtos, from reading this halacha, all you need for Megillah is to listen to Megillah, 10 people there, that's persumei nisa. Except there's another halacha. If you look, going back to Tufresh Pei Zayin, talks about the following, Sif Beis. Mevatlin tama Torah l'shlomar mikvah Megillah. We even mevatl Torah to learn Megillah, to lay Megillah. Right? You have a whole tzibur of people saying and learning. Mevatl tama Torah to learn, to lay Megillah. Kavachomer l'shar mitzvah shal Torah. It's a kavachomer to all other mitzvahs Torah, not in the same stature as tama Torah, which we know is connected kulam. Shekulam nidchim nei mikvah Megillah. That they're all knocked off because of mikvah Megillah. If you look on the Mishnah Berurah over there, it's on top of it, in Sifkat and Zayin. He writes, Mevatlan Talmud Torah, but Saloma after Talmud Torah, Shalkel Kenei Kol HaMitzvos, even though Talmud Torah is so powerful, it's equal to all the other mitzvos, Fil Haisa, Talmud Torah, Shalkel Berurah Gedola, Shalkel HaNashim, Shalom Demi Zabayis. You could have 100 people sitting there in a house, learning, Afil Hachi Tzarech Levato, V'Lech L'Kurosa B'Tzibar. You have to go and shut your gemaras, leave the house, and go to shul, go here at Betzibar. Mishum berov am hadras melach. There's a concept, berov am, with a big group of people, hadras melach, that's a kavod, that's the honor of the king. And it seems from here, really, the ideal is not just to have 10 people, which would be your minion, and be a means of persumei nisa, but to have bigger, berov am hadras melach, to lay in Megillah in a shul, have a big group of people. That's really the ideal. Now, you might say to this, okay, Rabbi, so this got me thinking. So we're going to arrange, right? They do it over here, Simchas Torah. Right? No, okay, before you get to MetLife. Why are we all sitting in 5 different shuls on Purim Day? Let's get together in one spot. We'll rent the big tent. And I was talking about a circus. Okay. But let's get a big tent and we'll get everyone in the community together to lay Megillah. So on that, I found the Shaar Tzion, Sifkat and Yud, Tafresh Pei Zayin, which says that you don't have to daven in the biggest of shuls, right? Even if they're, you know, with, you have within the community. Let's say you have some shuls are bigger than others. There's no idea of Barov Am Hadras Melach that says you have to specifically pick the biggest shul in town and daven there. No. What the concept means is instead of just having a small private minyan of 10 people, it's better for one to go to shul, and therefore it's a bigger olam, and Barov Am Hadras Melach. But it doesn't have to be. You're searching, I'll find the biggest shul in New York. Right? Some people have competitions. I saw one of my old landmarks back in the day in Brooklyn. It was built recently, bought out by some Hasidus, because they want to build the biggest shul in New York. Blocks long, we'll have, you know, I don't know where the stats are for what currently is the biggest shul that they're looking. I'm not sure Guinness is, Hasidic cousin has stats, but whatever. They all know. I guess Orthodox shul. Temple Emanuel.
3,000.
But happens to be, I'm not sure. Kiryas Yol, one of these places already. They could do 3,000. They could do 3,000. They have bleachers.
The Book of Amazing Facts and Feats.
Okay, now I know. Now, you have these two concepts. We see these two concepts. Number one, Persume Nisa, and that says you need to have a minion. And the second concept of Berov Am Hadras Melach, which Mr. Brewer actually brings multiple times here, talking about the fact you should lay Megillah in Shul. Now, something is interesting. You don't really find Berov Am Hadras Melach used too much in other cases. Of course, there's an idea of one to go to Davin and Shul, Davin a nice minion. But especially over here, we say Mevatlan Tama Torah, Dafka to go to Shul, and Dafka to Lane with a big minion. Why do we do that? Why don't we? The guy had more than enough of a minion in his house. Mevatlan Tama Torah to go to Shul, just to be Makai and Berov Am Hadras Melach? So the Chura, one has to say, I saw someone say this too, that the concept here of Berov Am Hadras Melach is tied together with Persume Nisa. There are two levels within a unifying concept. We want to be Mefarsim, we want to spread the message, the word, of the tremendous Nisim Hashem did for us on Purim. The most basic level of how you do that is laying Megillah with a minion. There's a level above that, not just 10 people. Berov Am Hadras Melach. Now that might be a concept in general of tefillah to go to shul because there's Berov Am Hadras Melach, but it's all the more so when it's involving Persume Nisa. Regular Berov Am Hadras Melach is, look, it's nice to daven in a shul where you have a big crowd of people and the concept exists. Berov Am Hadras Melach. More people is more kavod for Hashem. Kavod for Hashem applies every day of the year. But Persume Nisa is something we could only do 8 days of Hanukkah and on Purim. Purim is a day of Persume Nisa. Another level of means of how to perform Persume Nisa is to do it in a shul with not just 10 people, but a big crowd of people. And that way, we'll honor Hashem even more. We'll spread the nes even more. So these two concepts of a minion for Persume Nisa and Berov Am are connected. Just a further, greater manifestation of Persume Nisa. Yes?
So on Hanukkah, we light candles in shul specifically because of Persume Nisa and nothing else because everyone's lighting it at home. So wouldn't there be a mitzvah of going Rovam there? So maybe the first night Hanukkah, you should go to the larger shul in town.
Right? Interesting you bring that up. See, he's drunk before Purim. He wants to ask all these Hanukkah questions today. You want to know why at Hanukkah don't we go and light in the biggest manner? Yeah, good question. There are some people that do, right? City Square, they'll put up a big menorah. I'll say that's Persume Nisa. Really, the whole concept of lighting menorah in shul is really a separate concept from what we do, lighting menorah in our house. It's really a whole separate takana and needs its own understanding. But at least when it comes to Mikra Megillah, let's stick to that. Right? The biggest shul is an idea. Again, you don't have to look to go to the biggest shul. You have to go to your shul. You have to go to a place which has a sizable minion. That's a kedai thing for one to do. Now, once this is so, I was expecting you already asked one question. But let me list off a few questions. Right? If there is this idea that one should hear Megillah, ideally with a minion, and really beyond that, with a big minion, not just exactly 10 people, more than that. So you could have questions, you know, let's say I daven nates. So I have a small minion davening nates. Or I could wait to daven later, get a bigger minion. What does one do with that? I have questions about, we talked really ideally, everyone should hear Megillah with 10 people. Let's say there's a homebound person. So you know, a nice chesed to do is make a minyan for that homebound person that he could hear Megillah with 10 people. But if I do that, I'm going to miss out on the big crowd of my shul.
Could you do both?
How's that work? You only listen to Megillah once, if you got it right.
But you don't say your mitzvah person in Issa and the book of Megillah when you go to shul, and when you go to this small minyan, you...
I mean, stop, just for a chesed. Yeah. Right, as I mentioned before, the one could seemingly be part of a minyan even after you heard it. Yeah, that could be done. But let's say you don't have the time to do both. It's one or the other. We have cases, we talked about noise. So I could hear it in shul, but there's a lot of noise. It'd be better for my concentration if I hear it in a small minyan. But then I'll miss out the Rav Am. We'll see the Mefarshim talk about. Let's say I missed out all the minyanim. But there's a women's laning somewhere. Does that count? Should I be heading over there? And various other scenarios I'll get to. Yes?
In regards to what was said, I don't know if we define this or not, and it may impact on it. Are these two separate topics or one issue? Meaning, he was proposing that it's possible to be Yosei Megillah. Let's say, can I be Yosei Megillah without Pursuim Anissa?
And then get Pursuim Anissa later.
I just want Pursuim Anissa. I was Yosei.
Good question.
Pursuim Anissa. So I'll daven at the house with 10 people or whatever, and now, it wasn't Pursuim Anissa. Fine. So I'll plunk myself down. Nobody knows whether I'm, does it matter whether I'm actually listening? What if I,
right,
what
so
if
seemingly
I
not.
So I'm not listening. Right. Also be Rovan Hanus Mellor. So are those two separate things? Or are they interrelated?
So, yeah. So pashtos is a good question. What you're asking is, are these two separate things? You're supposed to hear the Megillah. And there's another idea of being involved in spreading the nays. So can I do them separately? I'll listen to the Megillah with a by myself or a small minion. And then I'll go to shul later. I'll help them out. You know, I'll sit and learn there. And I'm part of the Pursuim Anissa with just by being there. So you're right in this sense, and this is a nice idea. You know, many times we look at ourselves, I'm just another face in the crowd. I'm not sure we should think that way ever, but definitely within this idea, every person going to shul, participating in Mikra Megillah, is part of that Pursuim Anissa, part of that Rovam Hadras Melech. So you're right. Even if a person, like we talked about before, let's say a person heard Megillah already, but he has some time to learn, so we'll sit in shul while they're learning Megillah, and maybe he can learn on the side. You know, that's also, seemingly, that's also part of a crowd of people pursuing Nisa. Yeah, that seemingly helps. I'm not sure you really have to listen to count towards that. I'm not sure if you're not really listening. But yeah, let's say the guy wants to hear it again. He's learning the Megillah. So learn the Megillah again. That is an idea, but really what it sounds like from the Mefarshim is that it's a dimension within your Mikra Megillah. The type of Mikra Megillah that one should be ideally used to be Yotzi the Mitzvah is Mikra Megillah that was done with Pursuim Anissa. That's really the ideal. So it's a component of that. If you did Mikra Megillah lacking a minion or lacking this Barov Am Hadras Melech, you're missing something. Now, let's go through some of these cases.
Does the noise for homage add to the swimming? Or if you have a non-grogger minion?
Okay, if you have a groggy guy minion, what do you say?
Yeah.
So, I'll deal with the noise question first. So, what do you say? Shh. So, I'll tell you this, I've experienced both. You know, I was a kid, I'm getting older, so further away from it. You see some kids, their greatest excitement on Purim is banging for Haman. It's absolutely the most exciting thing. See, there we go. Figuring out all the chops. Here in Yeshiva, they had a band one year, mamish, like banging away on drums, you know, when they named, you know, by Haman's. Actually, the best thing we ever had here in Yeshiva was they're banging away. But when they went and they hung Haman, one guy in Yeshiva got up and started clapping. And then, like, the whole place was, like, clapping. Was, like, that was another good way to stamp out Haman. But the ideal, I so brought down the Chafetz Chaim himself would bang. You know, banging for Haman is a legitimate minhag. And I'm not sure we should curtail it. Maybe we should control it. You know, they should be shooting cap guns with smoke or going too long. The Balkari has to be careful after going in and out, before the Haman and after the Haman, that every word is heard. So sometimes they'll repeat it. Usually you have one, you know, kid who will go, for the second time he's repeating it, would say it again. But really, you know, it is part and parcel of Mikra Megillah. Now, that being said, in my years in Yeshiva, the guys used to go collecting right after Mikra Megillah. And, you know, every minute really meant money for whatever tzedakah the yeshiva was collecting for. So the yeshiva had what they called a separate collector's minion. That the regular minion, the base medrash, that stopped for the hamans. And the collector's minion, the minig was the first and the last haman. They made noise, but nothing in between. You couldn't find a seat at that minion. It was absolutely packed. And they went through it. You know, there's not enough room in the place for it. They... 1,000 people, that was crazy.
If you were in that room, were you able to go collect also?
Yeah. Good question. I plead the fifth. But, yeah, there is an idea, you know, especially also if it's hard for a person to concentrate with all these humans, so then it would be kedai to have a separate minion. So much so, I found an Aruch HaShulchan, a fascinating Aruch HaShulchan, that he says, what happens, see, back in the day in Yeshiva, the quiet minion had a huge crowd. And the Yeshiva minion, which made noise, had a smaller crowd. But let's say it was the reverse. The quiet minion is 10 people, not more than that. If I'd stay in the shul to listen to the big minion, I would have 100 people, 200 people. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, this is Aruch HaShulchan, Tov Reis Tzadi, Sif Chavches, it's not on your sheets, but the Aruch HaShulchan writes, it'll be better for one to go to the quiet minion and be Yotze Megillah the best possible way, right? Again, ideally, if you have a minion, you may not have the higher darga of Berovam having 200 people there, but it's better to surely be Yotze the mitzvah, as we said before. You can't forget the basics. The basics is I want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, which requires me to listen to every word. So that comes first. And to do that in a better way, yes, let's hear that. Let's get Megillah in the best way. And then, after that, we could worry about Barov Am and a minyan. Just as I'm saying this over, I'm thinking, you could have other cases. Let's say you have a shul. You have a choice of two shuls. In the big shul, they have a balkare who doesn't really lean so nicely. But in a smaller minyan, 10 people, the balkare mamash leans beautifully. I could hear it sad based on the Aruch HaShulchan. If the first requirement is to make sure you get the mitzvah of Megillah correct, so it would be better to hear Megillah in a small minyan, but the balkare reads it perfectly, than having some other balkare who could make mistakes in a big olam. But Rov HaMahajas Melach only works once you have the most basic building block that got Megillah itself right. Okay? So that's one area.
One's having a hard time fasting. They can go to a faster minyan, right? and then they can eat sooner, and maybe they can concentrate better. Or is it better for them to hold out even though it's hard and go to the...
Right, and this is the third option, which maybe I shouldn't tell you in public, but you know, a person who really is having a tough time in the fast, so our post comes that will permit one to even eat before. But assuming it's not that dire of a situation, You're right. If it's a concentration issue, it's a good point. And he'll be easier. He'll be able to concentrate easier if it's at a quicker pace and a slower pace, right? Especially the guy who's mumbling under his breath every minute. How much more time till the guy finishes? Yeah, then it probably would be good to go to the faster minyan, you know, just to be yotze. You're right. I think the first requirement a person should look at is how's the Nikra Megillah going to go? Yes.
Is there such a thing as a hefsek by the banging? Like sometimes you hear people go boo, and that's considered maybe talking.
So they talk about two things by hefseks by Megillah. One is like, yeah, the boos and this, which, if it's not really a verbal word, people are makel, right? You know, you see even sometimes in between, again, don't have paska halacha maisa here, but, you know, after people wash, you could sing a niggun, right? Instrumental humming people have until everyone sits down and washes. I'm always thinking, well, dafka, that's called a hefsek. But they also talk about, let's say it's a long pause. So that potentially could also be a hefsek. If there's a long pause within the lane, so they get everyone quiet, usually it's not the share. I'm choosing not enough of that. But you never know if they let off a bomb. It could take some. So in terms of noise, we said it's better to go a smaller minyan, better balkare, better concentration for fasting. All that, one could pick a smaller minyan to do the Megillah right. Nates versus a big minyan. Now, Pasha doesn't seem like the Megillah itself has a milah of laning it by nates. The milah might be zriza makdim lemitzvos. Right? Really, when you think of davening nates, it's really for your tefillah. I want to daven nates. It's the best possible time to daven. So there's a milah of davening nates. But really, there's also, you have a mitzvah hayom, first mitzvah hayom, right, mikra Megillah. There's an inyan to do it, you know, at the earliest zriza makdim lemitzvos, do it at the earliest possible time. So that also is part of a milah of davening by nates. But at the same time, I daven by nates, nobody's there. The big crowd comes later, 9 o'clock minyan. So I found the Ha'aris in the Dirshin Mishabura quote of Chaim Kanievsky that says it's better to daven nates than to daven with a big crowd of 200 people, whatever, Barovam. Hadras Melech, it would be better to daven nates. It says even if you're not necessarily, it doesn't say anything about you daven nates every day. Boom, you realize, you heard before, that Purim is a very important day for tefillah. So this day of tefillah, you want to daven nates. So Chaim says it would be better to daven nates even than waiting later to do Barovam. So it's not automatic that we just go for the bigger crowd. So too, I saw a beautiful piece from Rabbi Elshev. We talked about, let's say there's a person who's homebound, can't go to shul. So we said, ideally, the best thing would be if we could bring 9 people to him and have a minyan laning. But if you're going to be part of that minyan, and again, assuming you don't have more time during the day, this is the one time you're going to be laning Megillah. So should I pass up on the bigger crowd to be part of a smaller crowd? The chesed. So Yoshev says 100% you should do the chesed. Because Barovam is a milah, and it might be a milah within Mikra Megillah itself. But you know what's also a milah in Mikra Megillah? Doing a chesed by Mikra Megillah. When you're doing a chesed by Mikra Megillah, it's also a big deal. I have some Talmudim here. They go around and they lane for different people who are sick and homebound. It's a wonderful thing. And I think in New York, they have a whole organization now that makes a shidduch between people who are homebound and different people that know how to lane. They have a whole database of people. I think it's the organization in the Five Towns. All right, Benders. Beautiful thing.
So the question was sort of asked, but of that minyan for that person, do you need to have like 6 people who didn't hear the Megillah like you do for a minyan?
So seemingly, I so brought down not. You do not need to.
Theoretically, 9 of the people could have heard Megillah already.
Yes, and just go to that person's house, part of Simchas Purim. Now he heard it, because the idea is you're doing the Persume Nisa is with 10 people. So it's bigger Persume Nisa when everyone's around. It's not that you have to be Yotze with Persume Nisa. The Persume Nisa is from them being there. So that's a beautiful thing. If a person could help someone who's homebound, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, you know, to bring joy on Purim. That's a chesed within your mitzvah, your laning of the Megillah.
Just as long as you mentioned, assuming it's a help. Meaning if someone's homebound,
yes,
you should be sensitive to the fact that they might not want.
Right, right. But again, assuming that that's something that they would want, a wonderful thing.
Right. Just ask, was it, is the Pursumi Nisa its own mitzvah, or is it just an enhancement of,
right, of so, the Right, so we're saying it's an enhancement.
It's only an enhancement.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yes. Now, let's say you can't get a minyan, okay? You can't get a minyan, you're stuck. Unfortunately, all the flights are grounded. You have no room, and you're stuck. You can't get a minyan. So, what should one do? Is there still a mila of Birov Am, right? Do with more people. Let's say I'll have 8 people together reading Megillah. I mean, one guy read Megillah and be on behalf of 7 other people. Should I do it like that? At least therefore we'll be joined together doing Megillah together. Or do we say, no, once you don't have a minion, so might as well let everyone lane it by themselves. So that the Mishnah Berurah himself talks about in Tough Rage Pei Zion. Sorry. Tough Rage. That should be Tough Rage Pei Tes. On the bottom of your sheets. The Mechaber writes, Malkam She'ein Minyan. Im Echad Yodea V'Achirim Im Yod. And one guy knows how to read, others don't. Echad Potas Kum. One should read for everyone else. Vim Kulum Yodim. But if everyone knows how to lane, Kol Echad Kor Atzmo. Yeah, everyone could just lane for themselves. And the only time we have one guy be motzi others is when we have a minyan of 10, Mishnah Berurah writes. Because in this sense, it says Kriyas Megillah is like tefillah, they need 10 people. However, he does bring, end of the second line, a Magen Avram, Da'afil l'chakila adav sheyikra echa l'kula mishum berova mahadras malach. Even in a scenario where you do not have a minyan, say you have 8 people, it would be best for one to lane for everybody else, because you still have the concept of Barov Amahadras Melech. So it comes out a very interesting machlokas achronim. Does one, if there's only 8 people, do we say there's no minyan, and there's no minyan, nothing starts? And he might as well just break up, everyone lane for themselves? Or do you say, no, Birovam Hadras Melech, it'll be better for one person to lane for the other 7. It's Machlokas Magen Avram, amongst others. And it's interesting, it sounds like they're arguing, does Birovam really exist unto itself? Right? Do you first need the step, you have a minion, and then you have some darga of Pursumi Nisa, and then you add to it this Barov Am? Or do we say no? Even without a minion, there still is some element of doing things together, of Barov Am Hajj's Melech, some type of Pursumi Nisa, that's good enough. Yes?
So in some Hasidic for Shir Shirim Bris and Koheles, everyone's saying it to themselves at the same time. So would there be any concept here if each person had their own Megillah? There's less than a minion, all going
so
and saying.
You're bringing up Chassidus Shtiebels. You said Fashir Shirim Koheles. I guess you haven't been there for regular Shabbos, have you? Do you know Chassidus Shtieblach? The Haftorah every Shabbos is just recited by each individual person. So, yeah, it's interesting that there really is a similar type idea. You know, of Barov Am versus doing it by yourself. You know, they don't do Kriyas Torah that way, but, you know, I'm not sure really where that Chassidus Minhag comes from, but I'll tell you a cute story about it, I can't resist. My mother-in-law had a good friend who grew up in Brooklyn and davened a Chassidus Shtiebel. First week she got engaged, she went to her chassan's house for Shabbos and went to the shul there. after laning, all of a sudden they start laning the Haftorah. She had no clue what was going on. She like turned to everybody like, what is this? It's Haftorah. What's that? Right? This is a girl who grew up in New York, was educated, went to Beis Yaakov, but the concept, you know, you grow up in a Hasidic shtibul, so I guess the men recite it, and the women's section probably talks, and no one knows what's going on. It's not like, it's a different, whole different surah. Like, she was like shocked, there's something called a Haftorah. And that Navi stuff that you learn in school, they actually lame. It's nice to know. But, yes, yeah, so really this is a similar thing. Do we say you, one person lanes for everybody else, or do you have individual people just reciting? I came across a very interesting thing. There is a tzad in halacha, bring down, there's a chavas yar. Let's say you only have 10 people. Should I try to get 5? Rabbi, where did you ever hear of a, now minion just means a number, but where did you ever hear of a minion of 5? So the chavas yar gives a few examples, right? 5 miyodea. So, the Chavos Yar is in the back of your sheets. Talks about he says by Mikra Megillah, read the second line. The Kasav Chavos Yar, Mashinirli Shiish Lahader Acha Chamisha in Lomatz Asara. If you can't find 10 people for your Megillah reading, get 5. Where does he get that from? The Chain Bekiddush Levana. The Mikri Gam Kain Pirsum Ksans. That by Kiddush Levana, ideally you should be done with a minion. If you can't get a minion, there's an idea to get 5 people by Kiddush Levana. Right? It's not just to say Shalom Aleichem to them. But the idea that we do the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana with a tzibur, with some type of pirsum, 5 counts. And he brings a rive from Gemara Yevamos. That Gemara Yevamos talks about when you perform chalitza. Ideally, chalitza should be done in front of 10 people. If you can't get 10 people, the Gemara talks about performing chalitza in front of 5. So thus, the Chavos Yar brings an idea. Look, if I can't be mefarsim something in front of 10 people, but we find by Kiddush Levana, we find by Chalitza that 5 is enough. Not 8 is enough, 5 is enough. So that should be good. But most of the other poskim do reject such an idea. They say there really isn't the difference. And we find other places where there are makbedavka to have 10. And pashas, anything less than 10, that's not your magic number. Yes?
By rove, even by like Kiddush or something like that, if you have 2 or 3, it's still more than just 1.
That's a good point. Right? One of the other examples we have of Rovam that you brought up is Kiddush. Should we have at your Shabbos table every adult making Kiddush? Or no, let one person make Kiddush, be motzi everybody else. So there we do have a concept of Rovam Hadras Melech. And we say, let one person make kiddush for everybody else. So you bring in good raya, Dr. Brody. That similarly over there, we say Barovam functions even if you only have a few people. That might be the argument of the Magen Avraham we just saw before. If you don't have a minion, but still let one person lane it, don't do like Hasidus Shtibul. Don't have everyone individually lane. Let one person lane for those people. That's still Barovam. That's really what the Magen Avraham is saying. I think you're right. I guess over here, what they're debating is there might be Barovam, but that may not be Persuminisa. What does it mean to be Mefarsim something? To spread it? It's always better to give Kavodat Hashem with more people doing it. That's Barovam. Persuminisa, what's considered a Pirsum? What's considered spreading it? Right? I'm thinking, it just hit me. You know, like there are federal laws. You see in the Jewish newspapers that like every institution has to put in that disclaimer. They don't discriminate based on race. And really, everybody is accepted into their yeshivas, no matter what race, nationality, and all that, assuming you could read a piece of Gemara. But so that little disclaimer is always put out in newspapers. So I think there's so can I put it into a small little newspaper that's read by 10 people? There is a requirement of what the distribution level of what it means to be mafarsim something, to spread something. Want to put in that disclaimer, can't just be anyone. Now, we could talk of more cases. Let's just jump to this one. A women's minyan. Now, really, the whole concept of women and Megillah deserves its own share. And there is a concept of a women's minyan for Megillah. And really, women could gather together, and that seemingly would work for them as a minyan for Megillah, which would also mean that a woman could hear Megillah by herself, or she could go to a group of 10 people. Really, ideally, she should go to a group of 10 people, because there's also Persumi Nisa involved in that.
You're saying with a woman lane?
Possibly talking about, say, a man lane, right? Don't want to get into all the nitty-gritties of... Yeah. But what's interesting, and that the Ramah himself brings, if you look back on the beginning of your sheets, I skipped it because I came to come back to it. Look at the Ramah in Tafreit Sadi right there in the middle, where he talks about the idea of a man having a minion. The Yesh Listapik im Noshim Mitzarfus La'asara. Can women count towards that minion of 10? There aren't so many people there. You don't have 10 men, but can I count women? So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, Safek, can we count women or not? And the basis the Mishabura brings down, he puts about the Safek in terms of the fact of whether women count for Persume Nisa. If it's just spreading it, so look, as long as you have a body, if you have somebody there to spread the nais, that's good. Men, women, perhaps they count, perhaps not. Prima Gunnum brings another issue. It's also more complicated. That do women might have a different chiyuv than a man. A man has a chiyuv of mikra Megillah, of reciting the Megillah. That's why we talked about before. The man is the person laying the Megillah. Women might only have a chiyuv of shmias Megillah. Right? Fact, if a man would be motzi women, they talk about, especially the man did the mitzvah already, talk about that the man usually would ask one of the women to make the bracha. Because the woman's chiyuv is a little different than the man's chiyuv. So if a man's about the lane for a whole group of women, really ideally let the woman make the bracha. It's a different chiyuv. But, so it's debatable, you know, could one utilize women for this idea of Persume Nisa? Now, I'll tell you an interesting story because it came up. A Talmud of mine was offered a job to Lane, a leave out, in a certain Hillel house in a university here in Florida. And he looked into the question, and it came out, unfortunately, you know, not all Hillel houses today are run by Orthodox Jews, and this one was not. And in New York, there are some that have...
Orthodox rabbis.
Yeah, Orthodox rabbis involved. But this one, unfortunately, was not. And the manner in which they were doing it was a whole big, you know, gathering men and women, and no mechitzas, no separate format. Again, we don't... Understandable, we are dealing with college kids that are unaffiliated. And the question was, should he lane for such a audience?
Mixed multitude.
And the shiloh was actually posted, two different postkim, two different communities in America, and both of them had the same exact answer. You know, Megillah, it's a wonderful thing that these people want to connect with the Yontif of Purim. To be honest, once I researched the situation, I can't even imagine they would sit through the whole Megillah lane. They probably, Rabbi, stop. Let's give us a snippet of something here, something there, in between the DJ, you know, playing Hava Negila. But, you know, Megillah is something that has to be taken seriously. It's something that's be performed a certain way. It's a religious obligation that we talked about. It's Persumei Nisa, it's Halal, it's Berov HaHadras Melech. It's got to be done the right thing. And to be performed in a way which is not really kavod for the laning, it's not the proper thing. And, you know... Yeah, yeah. Ideally, it should be done in a way where there's some degree of some higher degree of respect that, you know, we are laning a Megillah and it's an important ritual. Now, just to end off, so we see today that Mikra Megillah is an important aspect of Purim. It's a means of giving thanks to Hashem, Halal. You give mefarsim the nes, you spread the nes, you give extra kavod to Hashem, Berovam Hadras Melech. And really, it's another beautiful aspect of the Yom Tov of Purim. I want to end with one interesting story. And Harvey, could be some people over here might make the story practical. What you do with it, kol kavod. I'll never forget this story of a memorable Mikra Megillah. It wasn't so much the Mikra Megillah, but what happened right after. So I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and we lay in the Megillah at night of Purim, right after you lay in the Megillah, right? So you sing Shoshana Shiatov, there's a little member, little dancing in the base medrash. All of a sudden, in the middle of the dancing, a clown, literally, a guy full costume, gets in the middle of the dance and starts dancing. It's a big clown. Nobody knew who the guy was. Who's this clown? Why is he dancing this? Then all of a sudden, he rips off his mask, and it was a Rebbe of some of the guys in yeshiva from America. He was the last person they ever expected to be there. But he happened to be in Eretz Yisrael for Purim. He kept it quiet the whole time. He dafka went to the yeshiva because he knew he'd see some Talmidim over there. And I surprised him with that. That's a beautiful, I think a beautiful story of what Purim is all about. Right? Going to hear Megillah, going to the mitzvah, you do it in a beautiful way, in a chesed way, a simcha dika way, right? Go to a shul that you haven't been to in a while, surprise them, I'm here, pop off your mask. The rabbi will say, what are you doing here? Well, you know, Purim is a day that you could get away with, in a positive way, of many things. I'm ready to see a few people are plotting their Purim festivities. And Be'ezus Hashem, it should only be a day of simcha and joy for all Klal Yisrael. Thank you very much for listening.